Sometimes we put the emphasis on so many different areas, but I got to tell you, I am where I am today because of the great faithful, just laymen of the church that were faithful to their place. You have to understand, I never had the privilege of being able to sit in a church service with my mom and dad. I am the result of the bus ministry. Two college young ladies from Tennessee Temple University were helping their brother start a church in our area, and they came by our house, 3650 Ruth Drive in Brunswick, Ohio. They invited us to ride the church bus, and as a result of us riding the church bus, my brother and my sisters, we heard the gospel, and we were saved. I can't help but think of the laymen that gave sacrificially of their money so that those church buses could run. That costs a lot of money. A lot of families gave. I think about all of those years, those that were faithful to teach a Sunday school class, those that worked in the nursery, those that worked in junior church, all of those different areas so that I could hear the Word of God. I know that none of them ever thought this bus kid went to a public school from a divorced home would ever make it. I was serving as a youth pastor in Dallas, Texas, and a couple came and visited. They had a family there, had teenagers, and I was the youth pastor. I noticed they had teenagers, but then I noticed that fella. I said, boy, I should know that fella. And so I went up and I introduced myself. And he told me his name. He said, my name is Rick Beats. This is my wife, Mary. I said, Rick and Mary Beats. I said, do you know who I am? And they said, no, we don't. We're just visiting. It's our first time. And we're looking for a church. We have teenagers. And we're looking for a good youth department. And I said, but you don't know who I am. I said, no. I said, you taught me Sunday school when I was a teacher, a teenager. They said, what's your name? And I said, I'm Steve Fisher. He looked at her and they laughed and they said, we didn't even think you'd still be in church. And then Rick asked me, so what do you do in this area? I said, I'm the youth pastor. He responded, unfortunately, the way you responded. And I said, no, Rick, really, I'm the youth pastor here. He said, I know. No, really, what do you do? I said, Rick, I'm telling you, after handshaking, you watch, I'm going to sit on the platform right next to the pastor. I'm the youth pastor. He didn't believe it. I went up and I sat next to the pastor and I made eye contact with Rick. If he would have had dentures, they would have fell out. I almost wanted to go. Now, here's why I say that. Listen to me. Some of you have been teaching a Sunday school class. You've been working in the nursery. You've been working in the shadows. And sometimes you think your labor in the Lord is in vain. You never know who you are influencing in the ministry that God has called you. And I stand before you urging you as church members to stay involved, to stay plugged in. And I want to challenge you for all of the bus kids, for all of those that are underprivileged out there that you're reaching out to. I want you to keep giving to the church. If it wasn't for the tithing and the sacrificial giving of God's people, I don't know if I would be standing before you today. And so I challenge you, church members, keep reaching out, for there are many that are like me that just need somebody to show them that Jesus cares. take your Bibles, if you would, and turn, if you would, to Judges chapter number 3. Judges chapter number 3, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12. As you're seated there, I'm going to read aloud Judges chapter 3, beginning at verse number 12. And as I read out loud, I'd like for you to follow along in the Bible. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. I'll say in introduction, don't miss that little word again. Does the little fox that pets sin in your life keep returning again to ruin your vineyard? And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. In verses 12 through 14, we read about Israel's dilemma. And then in verses 15 through 26, we discover Israel's deliverer. You have to understand the setting here in Judges chapter 3. After the death of Joshua, the nation of Israel had become self-satisfied with their inheritance. They're no longer wanting to fight, and so instead, they compromised with their enemies, and before long, they were marrying their women and worshiping their gods. The key verse for the book of Judges, and really the verse that describes the sad state of affairs there in Israel, is Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6. Here the Bible records, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I tell you, you read a verse like that, you can tell judgment is around the corner. We ought to thank God for those strong voices in our life, those kings, those people in authority that say, thus saith the Lord. When there is an absence of a strong voice, there are those quiet voices that lead us astray. And because of their disobedience, God is going to use the different nations around them to chasten them. The children of Israel, as soon as they had had enough, they repent, they cry out to God, and God raises up a judge to deliver them. Enter into the equation here the second judge and deliverer of Israel, a man by the name of Ehud. Othniel was the first judge. He came from the tribe of Judah. This second judge, Ehud, is a left-handed man who came from Judah's neighbor, Benjamin. We are told that the Benjamites were known for their ambidexterity. There I go again, coming from Kentucky, throwing those big words at you folks here in Tennessee. Let me help you folks, okay? Ambidextrous just means, in your terms here in Tennessee, this fella could use his left hand and his right hand equally. Ambidextrous. However, it seems that the text of Judges chapter 3 and 15 seems to indicate that Ehud was a man who was handicapped in his right arm or hand, which seems to suggest that he was not ambidextrous, but he was able to only use his left hand. If this is the case, Ehud was a man with limited ability. He had a physical disability. But I want to say tonight, simply because you have a disability or a perceived limited ability is no excuse for you to give up on your dream, for you to give up on God's will, and simply forge ahead. The world is filled with individuals who have not let their disability keep them from reaching their potential in Christ. Statistics indicate that there are over 750 million people in the world with some type of physical, learning, or emotional disability. I want to say, thank God for those with limited ability, but unlimited possibilities. These are individuals who see beyond their limitations, and they work harder, and they accomplish great feats for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. Thomas Edison was unable to read until he was 12 years of age. George Washington was like me. He couldn't spell even in adulthood. They say that his grammar usage was described as very poor. Woodrow Wilson, Nelson Rockefeller, severely dyslexic. Helen Keller worked through being deaf and blind to graduate from Radcliffe College with honors. Franklin Roosevelt suffered through polio. He became governor of New York and then president of the United States. It was a deaf Heather Whitestone who was crowned Miss America. He was 6'3". He was a 210-pound left-handed fireball who graduated from the University of Michigan. He pitched in the U.S. Olympics. And without any minor league experience, he was brought into the major leagues. And on September 4th, 1993, he tossed a no-hitter in Yankee Stadium. You say, preacher, I follow baseball. I understand. There are many pitchers that throw no hitters. But you don't understand, this 6'3" left-hander was a one-handed pitcher named Jim Abbott. Although she was blinded by an illness at the age of 6 weeks, she never became bitter. And Fanny Crosby wrote over 9,000 hymns during her lifetime. Who hasn't been blessed by Fanny Crosby's blessed assurance? Who hasn't been challenged by near the cross? You know what I'm saying tonight? As born-again believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, you and I, we don't have to live as victims. You and I, we can be victorious in Jesus Christ. And like Ehud, these were individuals with limited ability, but unlimited potential. I want you to know your limited abilities should not keep you from achieving unlimited possibilities. I want to say tonight, God specializes in using people who think they are limited. Limited ability becomes unlimited possibilities when grounded in God's will and purpose for your life. I'd encourage everyone tonight, surrender. Yield your life to God's control and allow God to remove the barriers that are hindering you to moving forward by faith in God. I say tonight, don't allow a physical, emotional, or learning disability keep you from serving the Lord. Oh, you may have to work at it a bit harder. You may have to work at it a bit longer. But by the grace of God, you can be a soul winner. You can sing in the choir. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can serve as a bus worker, a van driver. You can become an evangelist, a Christian school teacher, a missionary, or a preacher. I see here, although Ehud had limited ability, because God controlled his life, he had unlimited possibilities for usefulness. I know. Every one of us feel this way. We think God can surely find someone better for the job than me. But I want you to know tonight, as I look to the Scriptures, God has a way of using those who just may not appear to be as talented and as skilled as others. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. What a great reminder for every child of God. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Limited ability becomes unlimited possibilities when we get our assignments from God and we fulfill them faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to say to you, child of God, quit hiding behind your limitations and get involved and start serving the Lord. Your limitations are not a valid reason for you to quit on God. God delights in using weak vessels. He was assigned and he was available. I travel, and because I travel for the college a lot preaching out, I have a lot of honeydew jobs. And they just seem to pile up. So whenever I get home, I try to get caught up on that. And man, I picked up and carried over a bad habit from when I was a child. Whenever I was a kid, I used to borrow my dad's tools. And I never did put them back where they belonged. My dad would be out there on that Sears and Roebuck tractor mowing the grass. He'd be mowing the grass and all of a sudden, whoosh, he'd run over a crescent wrench, throw that thing out. That's Steve. He never puts anything away. That carried over that immaturity, carried over to my adulthood. I was needing to do a honeydew job at the house, and I was in that toolbox reaching around and trying to find a hammer, stuck my finger with the screw in there that I kept thinking I'm going to need to use it sometime, and I never have used it. I couldn't find that hammer to save my life. I had to get it done. And as I was looking at that job, it worked. I couldn't find the hammer. But because my shoe was available, I used it. I'm talking to some of you. You might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. You might not be the best man for the job. But you know what I found in life? The closer I stay to God, and the closer I stay to Him, and I make myself available to God, I'm surprised how many times God calls on someone that might not be the brightest, might not be the best, but because they stay close to the Master, He's looking for someone to use. And because I'm close to Him and I'm available, He uses them. I'm talking to some of you. You have discounted yourself as being important in the service of God through the local church because of maybe your age or your physical limitation. And I want to say, God delights in using weak vessels. He was available. And because He was available, God used him. We have no record that Ehud ever thought of doing anything other than what God wanted him to do. And he could have used his handicap as an excuse, but he didn't. And may I say tonight, God is looking for men and women, boys and girls, who are available and who present themselves to God. King Eglon's name means little bull calf. God used Ehud's perceived weakness to give Israel the victory. Ehud is going to gain access with Eglon, the king. He's going to do it. He is going to be a part of a committee that is bringing tribute to the king. And as they go, they let the king know, King, we have a gift for you. Kings like gifts. And so they present the gift to the king, and he is pleased. As everybody is walking away, Ehud goes back and he wants a private meeting with the king, and he says, I want the king to know I have a message from God. If you think kings like gifts, They love to hear that God has a message for them. And so, while everyone is gone, Ehud has a private meeting with Eglon. I'm sure his bodyguards, they're looking, and because at that time, they would look on the left side because that's where they would keep their sword or dagger. But what threat could a handicapped man be to the king? And so he gets a private meeting with the king. And as the king is in his summer parlor, Ehud says, "I have a special message for the king." And he's allowed to come close. Boy, can you imagine what the king is thinking? Wonder what God has for me. Well, while he's wanting to know what the message is, Ehud, the Bible says, with his left hand, reaches to his right thigh and pulls out a dagger and he sticks it into the belly of the king. And the Bible says the king was so fat that he couldn't even withdraw the blade. And that day, Lefty killed Fatty and delivered Israel. That day, Ehud killed the fatted calf. Now, I tell you that story because listen to me. If you were the Jews, and the Jews would have asked for a vote on a leader, Ehud would have probably never made it on the first ballot. If anyone's going to deliver us, it's surely not that guy. But see, if that guy gives what little he has to God, God gets the glory because everyone says that guy couldn't do anything. If he's going to do anything, God's going to have to do it, and God gets the glory. And may I say, that's what God wants from all of our service. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be uplifted. And I'm talking to some of you, you haven't been involved in church. You're making excuse. Your limitations, whatever it is keeping you from serving God and bringing Him glory. That's what we see here. This guy had limited ability, but he was God's choice. And God used him to set the nation free. You understand the turtle. He makes progress only whenever he sticks his neck out. And I'm asking some of you to start putting your neck on the line and moving forward for the glory of God. Moses was slow of speech. Paul was not imposing in his appearance. But Moses and Paul, like Ehud, were men of faith and faith in God. And they led others to victory. Ehud turned a disability into a possibility because he depended on the Lord. I'll tell you a story. I pastored in Butler, Pennsylvania for 13 years. And I was preaching a message. And man, I was waxing eloquent. Whew! I mean, I was shearing sheep, you know. Bless God, everybody's got to get involved. Everybody's got a job to do. One of those kind of sermons I'm sure your preacher preaches. And wouldn't you know it, after the service, a 90-year-old widow came up and shook my hand. And here's what she said. "Preacher, I know you were preaching at me." Man, I'm telling you, my heart broke. Come on. You think I'm the kind of preacher that's going to pick on a 90-year-old widow? Come on, please. But she insisted. 90-year-old widow told me, "Preacher, I have known for months what God wants me to do in this church, and I've been making excuse because of my age." And she said, "I notice that whenever people come into the doors of the church, the bulletins are just laying on a desk for people to pick up." And Dorothy Jordan said to me, "Preacher, the Lord told me months ago I should be standing at the door with a smile, handing everyone a bulletin." She said, "From this day forward, I'll hand them out." And she did. Did she not? At 100 years of age, after Herman Macer opened the door, there stood a 100-year-old widower with her jacket on. She was always cold. Smiling and handing out a bulletin. I tell you that story for this reason. If a 90-year-old widow realized God had a place of service for her in the church, how about you? How about you? I mean, next Sunday, if you didn't come to church, what would not get done at the church? I had a guy come up to me one time, and you know what he said to me? "Preacher, I know the Lord wants me to mow the grass at the church." I said, "Praise God, I'm tired of mowing that grass." He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'll tell you how sharp he was. We had a hill on the front of the church there at New Testament, riding lawnmower. The old boy tipped it over on him. Old boy tipped it over on him. Big old trucker comes into the church running and said, "Hey, I need some help out front." Guy mowing the grass flipped the mower over on him. I run out there. Sure enough, you laugh. It wasn't the first time he did it. Listen to me. You might not be able to teach a Sunday school class, but can you mow the grass? Can you push a vacuum? Can you work in the nursery? I'm telling you, God delights in using people who don't think they're anything and they can't do anything. But whenever they do serve the Lord, you know what? God smiles on that. And I'm telling you, I would encourage there, whether you are a teenager to an adult, that you would leave tonight saying, "What can I do at my church to make my church my church?" What can you do? Every one of us ought to have something we're doing for the Lord through the local church. Ehud, he'll never do anything for the Lord. Little is much when God is in it. And if you will just put what you have on the altar, and then you say something like this to the preacher this week, call him, text him, see him in person, and just say, "Preacher, I want you to know, I'm probably not the most talented guy in the church, but if there is a job that needs to be done, call on me and I'll do it." Now, after you tell him that, give him CPR, all right? He's going to have chest pains. Ugh. Listen, there is so much that can be and should be done through the local church. You know what God's just looking for? Weak vessels that will serve Him for the glory of God. A handicapped guy did what thousands did not do, because he was available and gave what he had, and the Lord used him. May God find us faithful in His service at the local church. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Holy Spirit of God, when I stand to preach, I'm mindful of everyone that invested in me. Sunday school teachers, bus workers, so many. And I look at this church and I think, how many more people could be reached? How much more could be done if all of God's people got behind the pastor, served in the church for the glory of God? Work in this invitation as only You can. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Preacher.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Remember the message Brother Allison just preached, and then tonight, what a great message. Oh, don't let your limitations stop you from being used of God. I told Debbie just this week, we were talking about ministries and pastors in different churches, and I was just telling her that I know I'm the least likeliest one to be used of God. I have great limitations, but I've just tried to be submitted and yielded to God. Yeah. And if You'll come tonight and say, Lord, I don't have much to offer, but what I have, I'll give to You completely. God will take that and will use that. Remember Brother Allison's message, God wants to save the lost. And He wants to use us to do it. Has God spoken to your heart tonight? Come now.